Blog Talk Radio.
This morning, I'm actually in wonderful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, wow. You're having fun.
Well, we're actually out here working. We're attending some conventions, and we're meeting with some investors and some business associates to see about continuing to develop and redevelop our economy in the city of New Orleans.
Oh, okay, great. Great. That's wonderful, of course.
Have you ever been to Las Vegas yourself before?
No, I've never had an opportunity.
Well, have you come to New Orleans before?
No, I have not. I haven't got a chance.
Oh, wow.
Yet,
well, we got to get you out there, and you got to see the world.
Yeah, I need to see the world. I need to start traveling. Well, maybe one day it'll be possible, you know?
There you go.
Yes. Okay, we have a guest. Sylvia?
Hi.
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, Sylvia. Mr. Gerlach, I told him there would not be a guest, but this is Sylvia. She's not from New Orleans. She's from Alabama. That's where she lives.
I'm from Mississippi.
Okay.
Gerlach, Mississippi, I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Mr. Gerlach, the reason she's calling in is, even though she's not a resident there, I'm sure she or her family have been to New Orleans, or her friends have been. So she is going to ask you about how would the police handle mental illness if you were there.
Okay, I didn't hear. There was something about how the police handle which item?
Mental illness.
Can you hear me, sir?
Mental illness.
Yes, now I can hear you much better.
Okay. Yes, mental illness.
Okay. I didn't hear the full question. I just heard how the police handled and what was the question?
Mental illness.
Mental illness. Oh, wow. That's a great question, and boy, it's very timely that you asked that, because one of the reasons why I'm here in Las Vegas this morning, I'm actually going to Los Angeles tomorrow night, and I'm actually going to be meeting with people with Mental Health America, and also there's an organization out there called CCHR, and CCHR stands for Citizen Commissions and Human Rights, which is basically the review of the mental health and psychiatric industries. So currently, the city really is hardly involved in that. They actually have a homeless assistance unit, and what the homeless assistant unit, because that's greatly tied in homelessness with mental health, all they really do is help people get IDs so they can actually get funding from different organizations.
Yes, sir. Sylvia.
Yes.
for mentally disabled people. Mrs. Scurlock, she wants to ask about the policemen themselves. Is there some kind of program that can help with people who are disabled? Like down South Florida, Miami, there was a gentleman who shot bullets into because he was helping an autistic client, and he was his caregiver. So how would you handle that? I mean, he is strayed away from the group home.
Under your administration, the police department needs to be really trained in that issue. As I had previously mentioned to you before, I actually live in the heart of New Orleans, and that's the French Quarter. And almost every morning I take walks, and I see so many homeless, and the homeless have serious drug and alcohol addiction problems, and I see them literally laid up on sidewalks and in front of doors and stuff. And the sad news is they're not doing anything, and that's a tragedy. I am known actually for calling 911 all the time and reporting these people because, quite frankly, it becomes an embarrassment to our city when our tourists, that is what our economy is based on, actually literally have to step over these people. And one of the things as part of my platform for running for mayor is we would like to add a 2% alcohol tax in the French Quarter district and have that money be used to fund a closed-down hospital. It was originally called Charity Hospital, and it's been closed since before Katrina. And we're proposing to bring that back as the largest mental health hospital in the United States would actually be in New Orleans.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. All right. That's great.
And let me also say this. One thing, especially when in conjunction with CCHR, which once again is Citizens Commission of Human Rights, you can actually go to their website, that's cchr.org. A lot of people think with mental illness that the answer is psychiatry, and in turn the psychiatrists just do really one thing, and that is actually issue drugs. There's a whole different types of psychotic and antipsychotic drugs that are prescribed. Quite frankly, they're usually overprescribed. And if you look back in the history of the major crime events, especially mass shootings, everything from the school shootings in Colorado and also in Columbine. Both of those shooters were actually already on psychotic drugs. And the one thing that we believe more strongly as opposed to the issuing of drugs is actually in the psychological industry. That's the, you know, the therapists, the social workers, the people that people can go talk to. At the end of the day, what I'm finding that most of these people, it's really a lack of love and appreciation of human nature. And if
that's
we can
right.
install that back in culture, I think, number one, we would have a much better society, but also we would not be destroying our bodies with all these toxins and all these medicines. Because once you get put in that system, especially if you take overactive children that are young, maybe they're like 5 or 6 years old, starting out at kindergarten and first grade, maybe they have more energy than other students. Sadly, these children seem to become a number, and next thing you know, they're given Ritalin or some other drug to slow them down, and they're basically trapped in the system for their life. And while there are definitely people out there with mental illnesses that need close supervision, but the bigger thing is, quite frankly, everybody needs peace and love. And one thing I have found, though, it really does not even have to do with economics, because love is free. Peace is free. And if you respect each other and let people be individuals and have rights, then you won't have to worry about other people wanting to turn violent.
That's yes, right. A lot of that is true. But currently, there are a lot of mentally ill people within the United States itself of America. here in Pensacola, here in Pensacola, Florida, they started a volunteer registry that allows caregivers of children and adults with cognitive and developmental disabilities to provide law enforcement with critical information so they can better serve the confused or the nonverbal resident, mentally ill, autistic, and things like this volunteer. That's what they're doing here in Florida.
I think that's great. And one of the things, I'm a highly spiritual person, and I always love when I'm traveling to go find other great houses of worship and see the communities and see the programs that are involved. Sadly, for the most part, religion in America has turned into a business, and especially with the televangelists and stuff like that, it's all about them collecting money, and you just don't see them on the ground making a difference. I would like to bridge that gap between humanity and the churches and hopefully get them involved because, you know, if you think about it, you know, in from a clergy standpoint, you know, when children are typically born, you know, they're baptized. Also, we all know that when you die, you have a funeral, which is typically a religious service. But and then, of course, when you get married along the way, you also have some type of religious stuff. I believe that there should be a direct correlation with churches to basically help be on the front line. When people have issues, have it be anger, have it be a personal separation, maybe a job loss. If they stood up with these people like you're talking about that are almost registered to help, I think that would actually make society much better and safer and more important and more friendly. And I don't think anybody's ever pursued that. But, you know, in my spiritual walk, my walk with Christ takes place not just on Sunday, but it's a lifestyle that I've chosen to live.
Yes, sir.
So,
Sylvia,
do you mind if I interject?
Go here.
I want to comment about your ministry. I actually have an outreach ministry, Healing Harmony Outreach Ministry, and that's exactly
what we do.
We go in the nursing homes. We go in 3 different nursing homes a month. We take them all kind of gifts all throughout the year, give it to them. We go into the jailhouses. We go out on the streets to the homeless people. We're giving them food. You know, we don't have a home base for a church right now. We're hoping we'll get blessed with one of those. But we take it to the street, to the people in the street. We have people in the meantime call us for prayer, which, like you said, when they have an issue of anger, an issue with their marriage, a crisis in their life. And we're on the phone praying for people 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's what
Healing Harmony Outreach Ministry
does.
I hope, is that something that, do y'all have a website that you could share?
Yes, we
so
do.
So people maybe can use that as a role model?
On Facebook, you can type in Healing Harmony Outreach Ministry, and you'll see our logo. It's a dove with music, symbols, holding a sign that says Healing Harmony Outreach Ministry. And you'll see all our timeline, all the pictures of us in the nursing home, pictures of us giving people parties in nursing homes, pictures of us in churches doing things, all of that. Our GoFundMe page is on there. All of that is on our Facebook page, Healing Harmony Outreach Ministry.
That's wonderful.
And we have a YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel. It's my first and last name, Sylvia Cather. And you'll see videos of our ministers preaching in the nursing home. You might even see a few wheelchairs in the videos. It's coming to see that, but you know, that's what we do. We're out of the four walls, and I agree with what you're saying. You know, I think the church should pick up the slack because the church is kind of like a hospital. People shouldn't leave there feeling worse than what they did when they came. And that seems like there's no one going beyond the four walls trying to help the people before it gets that too severe of a problem.
Yes,
a lot of these people
true.
With mental illness,
that
if you would have just told them, I love you, if you would have just told them, hey, I understand what you're going through, it's going to be all right, you know,
not cruelty,
they wouldn't have committed suicide.
Cruelty.
The government spends $4 billion a year on suicide. The government spends $4 billion a year. Every day, 122 people commit suicide. The church you would have had one person from the church just to answer the phone and tell that person, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, I agree with you entirely. Just showing people love and respect.
Yes.
That's it.
It means
yes,
so much.
And
it's free. It's free. It don't cost a thing to tell somebody, hey, smile. Everything's going to be all right. Hang in there.
You know, one thing that I'd like to bring up is I had
so
the
true.
Unique opportunity to actually go to the Orleans Parish Prison in New Orleans about a month and a half ago. Sadly, I was mistakenly arrested when I was just literally trying to speak to a police officer civilly. As you may recall, there was an issue about possibly taking down the monuments in New Orleans in the South. That'd be the Confederate monuments. What I chose as I was a candidate for mayor is to go interview both the people that were for and against the monuments. And I found out that they actually were getting ready to have a fight, just like you were talking about. The anger was building. So I tried to intervene by calling the police and getting them involved. And instead, I, the person trying to help a situation, they turned their back on me and they arrested me. And so it's actually, sadly, you just have to laugh at it, but it's what it is. But when I learned and I went through the lockup processing thing, the very first window, when you get your picture taken and mugshot and go through all the different things, I guess when you become a prisoner, the very first window was how you sign up to have a psychiatrist come out and give you medicines. And their medicines, by the way, some of these psychotic drugs, from what I understand, are very expensive. You can get all your prescriptions filled for $3. And so
wow. They,
in the own system, they're actually propagating this drugging as opposed to the counseling that they really need to be promoting.
Wow.
I agree. And I've also, there's another type of counseling that a lot of people don't seem to know about, even in 2017, Christian counseling, where people
amen.
Use the Bible. Yeah, amen, yes, where people use the Bible to help heal. A circular counseling in second is not doing what they thought it would do. It's not helping. Like they start drugging people up. It's not helping. So more people are starting to turn to is Christian counseling, godly psychiatrists and counselors, and they may use medication or they may not. But it's a combination. More of the Bible, much more than the Bible.
I would like to make a comment too. I think it's effective, but there's such a negative stigmatism around mental illness. People kind of shun people, especially if it's not a physical illness, but it's a illness of the mind. People kind of shun mentally ill people because they're viewed as violent. They're viewed as maniac. You know, they kind of shun them. But if you find a community that embraces them and loves them and give them that therapeutic, I think love is a medicine itself.
You know, you are 100%. You are 100% right. And let me go backwards to what we were talking about a second ago. The Confederate monuments in New Orleans. What's really concerning me is there's so much anger now. There's so much hate. Quite frankly, last Saturday up in I believe it was Charlottesville, Virginia, there were riots, and because they're taking down monuments all over the place, and that's just full of hate, and there's no love whatsoever. Now, I will tell you this. I have a neutral position on that issue, but my position is you preserve history and you add and you grow to it, just like we're talking here about mental illness. There's actually the CCHR people have an absolutely wonderful museum of psychiatry that I'm actually going to be at it on Monday. It's on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood. And I thought it was interesting that it's there because we know that Hollywood is full of really highly creative people. And being a highly creative person myself, with my background has been in amusement and entertainment. My father invented the first inflatable amusement ride, the Bouncy Castle, known as Spacewalk. I started work when I was 10. I'm 54 now. I worked 44 amazing years. I was blessed with the opportunity to actually live in Walt Disney World in Orlando for 10 years from 2001 to 2010.
you know, when you entertain people, that's actually part of psychiatry. It's, you know, consuming the emotions. It's letting people help escape reality to just enjoy life. Last night, I had the pleasure, after I qualified for running for mayor's office in New Orleans, I actually flew to Las Vegas, where I mentioned I was at, and I attended the Michael Jackson show here. It's actually called One at the Mandalay Bay. And if you think about Michael's words and his lyrics about humanity, and he had We Are the World, and let's not forget Black and White and Man in the Mirror. If you listen to those words, Michael was dead on. Before he passed away, he truly was trying to make the world a much better place. And quite frankly, we need more positive influence with people like that to create a culture of love.
Yes. You know,
I'll say this.
That's right.
When I was watching the show last night, I had so many tears coming down my face, because in my own home city, New Orleans, that's what we see and we face. Our crime is out of control. This morning alone, there's already been two major shootings. And we're the murder capital of the world. We are the most incarcerated city in the world. And that's a shame. And this is America. This is United States. This isn't a third world country. New Orleans, Louisiana is the single largest incarcerated per capita city in the world. And we got to change that. And quite frankly, the way we need to change that is through mental health services with therapists, with counselors. And think about this for a minute. We all know what Katrina did to New Orleans. And that was back, by the way, on August 29th of 2005. I had heard a rumor, haven't had it verified, but the rumor I heard was there's more people on antipsychotic drugs in New Orleans than everywhere else, which kind of makes a lot of sense with the trauma that everybody went through.
Yes,
the one thing we don't have enough, we don't have enough social workers and therapists. We don't. So if you've got a solution to get some to send them on down. We certainly need them.
I want to ask you a question. Sir, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, I like when you said, highlighted about the Museum for the Mentally Ill was in Hollywood, and you know, I thought that does make sense, because there are a lot of famous people who suffer from mental illness, like Catherine Zeta-Jones, Angelina Jolie. But my question for you is, can you reflect or give some input on people who have a problem getting help? You know, because a lot of people have a problem, but they won't get help, like you said, because they're suffering with drugs. I would like for you to talk on that.
You know, that is a great question, and this is going to be a big statement I'm getting ready to make, and you said some wonderful names just then, but let's remember one of the funniest, greatest actors that I grew up with, had his own TV show with Mork and Mindy, and he was in so many great movies. It's Robin Williams, okay?
Yeah.
And I think it was about 2 to 3 years ago, he actually committed suicide himself. Robin Williams, a major actor. You know, I remember the videos, seeing him yelling out, "Good morning, Vietnam." And I've never been in the service myself, but I know I hear about the post-traumatic stress syndrome from people that have been in Afghanistan and other wars around the world. The thing is, most people don't know where to turn the help. And what I've seen on personal experiences, it's usually the family who's the mirror, the family who sees a change in behavior in something, especially when people start locking themselves out and becoming a recluse in society when they become missing. That's the very first signs. And if I recall correctly, Robin Williams had kind of disappeared off the map, and they actually found him accidentally. And, you know, that's what networking, and quite frankly, going back to spirituality, if I recall correctly, in the Bible, I think God said love is the greatest thing of all. And I think he was dead on, and he needs to, and not he, we, as his children, need to amplify his love and share it and love one another. And it doesn't matter if it's racial, if it's interracial, or what stereotype you are. It doesn't matter. We are all God's children. We are all God's creation. And truly, we need to let our hearts be softened and open and love and hug on one another. There's actually a guy I see quite often in New Orleans who wears a button, and it simply says free hugs. And that's what he does. His job, he feels, is going around hugging everybody. And the smiles that he puts on everybody's face is absolutely amazing.
Yes, I believe that love does change things. Love does change a lot of things, and so does Christianity, God. I know some people don't believe in Christianity. I'm not one of them. I believe Jesus Christ has always been the answer, and I've always believed
Amen.
That as long as you are living what Jesus Christ has told you, the way he has told you to live, and love, you know, is all through the Bible. Jesus loved. He healed people with spirits. He healed people with sicknesses. He healed the woman with a blood disorder. That's love. Because there was a man who was on the side of the road, you know, and in the Holy Bible, and the priest passed by him, and the you know, the people just kept right on passing by him to laying there in the road. Well, the third or fourth person that came by stopped and helped him, took him to an inn and doctored on him and paid for him to eat and be able to stay there a while till he healed. So that's love. That's in the Bible. That's love. Everybody else was
love is
going
the
around
of all.
And didn't want to get involved. Yes, sir, it is. Love is the greatest.
Yes.
So my next question, one of my next questions would be, again, it's pretty much the same one. It's going further into the questions that you already answered about police getting training on mental health. Well, I understand that. I understand that there's still going to be circular counseling and things like that going on because we're in the world. But back to the police, when you shoot somebody that's mentally ill, even accidentally, it's perceived as bad to me, more so for different reasons. What I like to see is more people not being stigmatized because they have a mental illness or defect. Also, the Bible, well, the churches, they'll say don't claim that illness. Well, sometimes I think it takes a little more than telling people that. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
yes,
no, I know exactly what you're saying. Let me highlight a couple things from my world travels. So when Katrina hit in 2005, I owned the Spacewalk Company. That's the bouncy castle stuff. And we had about 200 stores open. We lost our factory because the city was shut down and all the labor went away. So I ultimately had to go over to China and Hong Kong and Asia. And so I've made over 20 trips there over the past 12 years. And one thing I actually found out, we all know everything's sadly made in China, which that's a whole nother subject. I want to change that and get it back here in America to create jobs and economy. I did learn one thing, though. The people over in China, they have a philosophy that they just enjoy the moment. And it doesn't have to do about economics. It's kind of like, especially when you're on the lower end and more the poor side, you know, all of God's giftings were free. And I'm actually working on a screenplay right now. That's one of the reasons why I'm going to Hollywood. I'm actually working on a project that's called Naked. What if the Garden of Eden went right? Because we all know the sinning that took place in the Garden of Eden. Now, think about it in a positive light of what society would be like if everything was beautiful. And I think that would eradicate these horrible thoughts. And that's one of the other reasons why I'm such a proponent of cleaning up issues, especially with blight, especially with homeless people on the side of the road and basically just sleeping on the streets. So we have to do something. Not that we want to sweep it under the rug, but we have to do something to clean it up, to encourage people to, number one, be positive. Number two, be truthful to themselves. Okay. And three, they just have to be honest and sincere. And if you can do all of that, that goes back and creates that loving, nurturing environment. Because, you know, you think about when a baby is born. I mean, such an innocent, sweet character. You know, although they cry, they're actually crying for attention. And I think the baby's got it right. You know, do they need to get fed? Do they want to be hugged? Do they want to be cuddled? But I think we as humans have the exact same feelings, emotions, because when you start feeling abandoned and you feel somebody's betrayed you, I mean, the reason you have crimes and you have shootings, it's always not about economics and somebody stealing money. Sometimes most of these crimes, more than likely, are actually just over hatred. And if we can eradicate hate, wow, what a society we would live in, and everybody could prosper.
Yeah.
Man, sorry about that. I mean, it sounds like I'm on the way to becoming a pastor, which wasn't in the thing. But the reality is, when you travel and you see and you're exposed, and you know, I will say, waking up this morning in Las Vegas, you know what? On the outskirts, you know, they're homeless here, and there's a lot of pawn shops. People sell their belongings. But the reality is, these beautiful hotels. And here's the interesting thing with Las Vegas. You know, when I grew up as a kid, everybody always, oh, that's where you go. You know, you gamble with money. Do you know that more than half the money in Las Vegas today is not made in the casinos on the tables? It's actually from the retail shopping experiences and the entertainment. And that's what my specialty is, entertaining people. If you look at Michael Jackson, I mean, especially in his last decade of life, you know, he didn't give up. He went serving the world. I mean, think about this one gentleman creating We Are the World, with Quincy Jones and Lionel Richie and everybody else, who can't help look at that and seeing all ethnicities, all people coming together. We really need We Are Love campaign or something, just to get people to recognize how positive life can be.
Well, I have a question.
And let's create a movement on that.
Yeah,
I have a question.
When you talk about entertainment, I know you're talking about joy, and that's in the Bible. It says, don't let the devil steal your joy.
Make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise, yeah. Make
Amen
a joyful noise. And I was told this also, don't let the devil steal your joy. Yeah.
Amen. That, you know,
like that.
Go ahead, Sylvie.
My question is, you know, when someone cuts you, you get scraped or puncture, you put a Band-Aid on it, right? But these people who are hurt, who have hatred, who have sadness, who have despair, who are grieving, how do you put a Band-Aid on those feelings?
Oh, boy.
You
know,
how you put a Band-Aid on an emotional hurt?
An emotion, yeah.
You know,
because, you know, even when a woman or a man is in domestic violence, a lot of times the wounds heal, the bones heal, but that mental damage, that emotional damage is a lot of times the worst part, because that person will be having those emotions, those feelings of fear, hatred, not feeling powerful, not being able to help themselves, not being able to stop the abuse. So that's basically what she's talking about, the emotions. And I think that comes through prayer.
I think you're right. I think a lot of what he's saying, he said he's traveled and seen a lot of people suffering and afflicted. You know, that's what I think you're seeing. These are people who haven't had no one to intervene, maybe with Christ or with godly principles or medication or counseling or therapy. They hadn't had no one intervene and help them put a Band-Aid on it. And they're trying to bandage it up with alcohol. They're trying to bandage it up with drugs. They're some of them are sex addicts. They're using all of these devices that are not helpful to them to put a bandage on that emotional hurt.
You know,
that's right.
I agree
Band-Aid on
with
that.
You. That's all temporary. And even myself, from personal experience with a personal issue that I was going through, I found myself slipping into a depression. And I lived out on the lakefront. I was living by myself, and things were quiet, and you know, it was just sad. And then a friend of mine wanted me to throw him a birthday party in the French Quarter in New Orleans. And so I did that. And then I actually did it not necessarily where the drinking and stuff is, but more
There's an area there called Cafe du Monde, which they make their French pastries and the donuts. So I stayed at my friend's place there for a couple of days, and every morning I would hear incredible music, our jazz. I heard Amazing Grace played on a tuba. And life just doesn't get much better when you hear that. So this energy, this vibration that came out of it, by putting on good music and listening and having a positive outlook, that all of a sudden changed me around. And instead of just hanging in there, I began to not only to live, but I started to thrive. And then I wanted to do more. And not only did I want to do more, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to share that. And that's why
if you think about also with God's gifting, think about it. Do you dance by yourself or do you dance with a partner? And when you dance with a partner, it's an energy exchange that, once again, it's that foundation of life. It's that sharing of love. And going back to the scriptures, when God says, when two or more are gathered, and so it's multiple people involved, not just one person. And I think what we really need to keep a watchful eye are those that tend to be isolated on their own.
Amen. Can I share something here, Ms. Angela, Ms. Butler? Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Is Ms. Butler?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here. Yes, we're both here.
You know, I wanted to encourage people with mental illness to take the opportunity. I know what it's like to walk that fight, to fight that fight, to go through the floor of mental illness. I suffer from a mental illness, and I want to tell people that you can overcome. And when society tells you a no, there's a man named God who tells you that you can. And like you said, surround yourself with people who love you, get encouragement. And, you know, I think of like David, when people about to stone David. David was depressed in the Bible, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And when I turned my life over to God, that's when my life turned around. When I first was diagnosed with my mental illness, I was a college dropout. But when I turned my life over to God, I went back and got not only my bachelor's degree, but I got 2 master's degrees, and now I'm working on my 4th degree and in the process of being hired as a teacher. So I want to say that you can do it. You can be anything you want to be, and then getting help, it takes you getting help. Seek help and get it. You know, I just wanted to encourage someone today.
Yes,
and I have,
yes,
you know,
and you did.
My life just completely turned around. I have my own outreach ministry, and it's basically have went nationwide. We're all on TBN. We're on all these gospel networks. God did that for me. I didn't do it myself. But the hatred, you know, he spoke about the hatred. I had anger issues because I felt like people were degrading me. They were humiliating me, making me get help for my mental illness. But when I humbled myself and I got help and I turned my life over to God and I let go of that hatred and the love of Christ came in my life, that's when I began to mount up wings like an eagle.
Yes,
amen.
Right. That is true. That's a true story. This is my cousin, too.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
Y'all have just blessed me like I can't even explain. So thank you.
And, sir, I hope you get elected. I respect you. I really do hope people go out and vote for you. I hope you get elected because you seem to have a heart for the people.
You know,
yes,
I do. And yesterday it was interesting and qualifying. You know, we have some significant issues at hand. I'm not a politician. I will never be a politician. I will be an entrepreneurial candidate who will create jobs. I'll create an economy. And one thing that hit me during the middle of the Michael Jackson show last night is I want to create a movement. I want to call it Scurlock Cares, because that's exactly what I do. And just like you said, you know, it's that element of care for one another. It's in another scripture and that I use all the time is what you call dying to yourself. And when you do that, because most people all have these big inflated egos, especially sadly when you get involved with professional athletes and economics. And, you know, I've been blessed that I've had means, but I've worked very hard in my life. But I've also given
so much of it away in a lot of different efforts and things that I've done. And I got to tell you, I'll tell you right off top, money does not buy happiness at all. It might do something temporarily, take care of a thing, but eventually it's going to run out. The only thing that will provide that eternal life that is giving of yourself, surrendering, letting Christ come work in through you, and quite frankly, in the ministry, in the prisons and stuff, I did not see any of that in the city of New Orleans, which once again is the most incarcerated city. And we got to change that. And that we need think about the economic breaks that typically cities give to churches. They repeal sales taxes. They repeal property taxes, and they give them all the stuff. But what do they really get in exchange for that? They should have an obligation and a duty. Sad in me being, I'm a white male trying to be accepted by a highly African-American community, and I've been told that I can pay my way in to go to talk to churches. That shouldn't be the case. Quite frankly, when I signed up for mayor yesterday, I had to pay $750 to even run for a public office. That seems wrong. I want to be a servant, and it ought to be just the opposite. I think people should be commended for doing that. And when we get together with my opponents, which that's the word they happen to be, but really they should be a team of like-minded people that come together for the common good to move society forward. Something happened along the way. And it's not just, by the way, in New Orleans. It's, quite frankly, it's not only a national problem, it's a global problem. We still have wars. People are fighting. We still have terrorism. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, especially, I was blessed a couple of years ago. I went to Israel. I also was blessed that I went to Dubai, and I went to a mosque over there. And a lot of people said, oh, stay away from the mosque. And instead, I said, no, I actually want to go. I want to learn about them. And I got to tell you, these people were just as spiritual as I was. They have, you know, a little bit different set of Bibles and stuff, but they're not necessarily the bad people. All religions, especially organized religions, have people that take advantage of it, and they became like Christian fundamentalists that are extremists, that it's either their way or no way. And the Muslims have that too. And so we don't have to have it on those ends. And quite frankly, if you look at it from the biblical standpoint, especially there are 66 books in the Bible, you know, from Genesis to Numbers to Kings to whatever, they're all different stories of life. But what it shows is how all these people can and do get together. God's master plan was to populate and to fill the earth, just like what happened in the beginning years. And then because of a decadent society, God cleansed it. And we all know we had came back with Noah's Ark. And which, if you get a chance, by the way, have either of y'all been to the Ark that they built up in Kentucky last year?
No.
Okay. No,
there's a gentleman that rebuilt up in Kentucky, not too far from Lexington, a complete life-size Noah's Ark that is absolutely an amazing biblical testament. It's something you get a chance. So if you Google, I'm not sure, I know it's called the Ark, A-R-K Encounter, and it's in Kentucky. And I was blessed to go there three times so far. And it's like a religious experience for you. And, you know, the sad news is the last time I went, before I could actually enter the Ark, they had to have security dogs walk by our group in, just as like if it was like going into like a, I don't know, a secure military operation. And that was so sad. And that society has deteriorated.
Yes, it is.
And I can only think, with God's weeping, but it's up to us, His called children, our chosen ones, that we can and we will make a difference. And that's why I firmly believe, no matter how bad I personally had a gun pointed at me, instead of just giving in and saying that was, you know, my time, I intend to turn it around and do something positive in exchange.
and personal safety and crime.